The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC live here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Ali Moreno. Lots going on today. Later on in the show, Gab Marcotti will be here to give us all the reaction as FIFA for the first time addresses Russia's participation in the World Cup. We'll be giving you the latest on that. Plus, of course, reacting to that brilliant Carabao Cup final between Liverpool and Chelsea. We'll start off though. We'll have to just finish it. The Camp Nou, Barcelona taking on Athletic Club. Plenty of goals, certainly coming late on in this game. Let's see how it all started. Those 16 minutes on the clock. Early chance here for Gerard Pique. And then moments later, a golden opportunity for Gavi to open the scoring.
It's a good build-up down the left-hand side. Good turn from Pedri. Finds the run of Ferran Torres, who cuts to the inside. Finds then the run of Gavi, who's wide open. Penalty spot, leaning back, no goal.
Barca would take the lead, though, 10 minutes before the break. Aubameyang.
We saw Pique winning the first header initially in that first corner, and then once again Pique off the crossbar, and Aubameyang does well in understanding where this ball is going to be. The defender sees it late, and then it's athleticism and skill from Aubameyang to put it on target. 1-0.
Into the second half we go. Brilliant opportunity here with to fall for Ferran Torres. Straight the keeper though.
We're defending everywhere from Athletic Club. Ferran Torres breaks through. He's wide open, gets his head up. Good save from Unai Simón.
And Dembélé into De Jong. Aubameyang with a header.
There's just not enough in this cross from Frankie De Jong for Aubameyang to be able to use the pace. He has to generate the pace by himself. Not enough.
However, 17 minutes ago, what a goal this is from Dembélé.
Yes, he is. And let me tell you something about Dembélé. Every time he touched the ball initially, he was getting booed. You can stop booing him now. I think he's fine. He's going to play for you till the end of the season. You may want to support him.
Yes, indeed. And Barca would certainly end this game in some style. Nice cross ball here. And nice work by Dembélé once again. Finds De Jong. 3-0.
Gets his head up, Dembélé. Knows where Luke De Jong is going to be. Good switch of play from Pedri, who I thought was excellent throughout the course of the match. De Jong gets in between defenders. Optional defending from Athletic Club. And yes, a header from Luke De Jong.
Smiles all around. And then with pretty much the last action of the game, Barca would get the fourth through substitute Memphis Depay.
And once again, is Dembélé down the right-hand side, gets his set up. Memphis Depay gets in between defenders. Sliding finish, 4-0. What a performance from Barcelona.
Yeah, what a performance from Dembélé as well for Barcelona. Three key points, especially off the back. The Atleti's win yesterday, meaning it is still extraordinarily tight in that race for a top four place. They are now just 1 point behind Real Betis, who lost against Sevilla. More on that a little later on. But Ali, let's first focus on Barcelona. We've seen flashes, haven't we, throughout this season. You thought, maybe, maybe now. Today you kind of feel yes.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yeah.
Also, yes. And the reason is very simple. Today was going to be a different type of test for Barcelona. Against Valencia last week and in the midweek against Napoli, there was a lot of time and space on the ball. And there was a lot of transition. So you could expect that Barcelona was going to be able to exploit those spaces because of the ability that they have in the final third. Today was going to be about the aggression of Athletic Club. And could you, with your quality, with your passing, break down Athletic Club to the point to where Athletic Club had difficulties defending? And you saw that time and time again. Now, you can say that Athletic Club was looking ahead to Copa del Rey. Maybe so. But that doesn't take away from the quality of Barcelona today, in that this team now, you watch them playing, you're thinking to yourself, where did this come from? It hasn't been like this for Barcelona. It wasn't like this early on in the season, but now this is an explosive team with quality possession of the ball, with Pedri playing at a very, very high level, and then Aubameyang scoring goals, Dembélé coming off the bench, De Jong coming off the bench, Memphis Depay scoring as well, Adama Traoré running at people. There are options everywhere, and Barcelona has become a really fun team to watch. We didn't say this early on in the season. They're really fun to watch right now because of the productivity and because of the variety of the attack.
Dembélé, as you mentioned, comes on, whistled. He's got a start now.
Yes, but who do you start him over?
Right.
Do you make the decision to then say to Ferran Torres, I'm supporting you, but Dembélé is just too good right now? It's difficult to keep Dembélé on the bench, but this is also a player that, much like Barcelona, at times we've gotten excited about him and then he kind of disappears. Maybe the key for Barcelona fans has been booing from the beginning. You should have booed him from the beginning.
That's the motivation.
Well, I don't know if it's a motivation, but we have seen the best of Dembélé with Barcelona over the last few occasions that we have seen on the field. And that has coincided with him being booed. Maybe that engages him. Maybe it's something that, for some odd reason, gets him focused on what he has to do. But this goal today, it's a player who feels confident enough to take that shot near post with so much power. Great finish. And then the decision-making from the right-hand side, getting his head up and finding Luke de Jong, getting his head up and finding Memphis Depay. The thing that we have talked about Ousmane Dembélé time and time again is final product, final decision. A lot of talent, but is there substance? Today, there was a lot of substance.
So what's now the perfect season for Barcelona? Third in the Europa League?
I think they can look at second as an option.
Right.
I think there's a possibility there in catching Sevilla. It's an outside chance, but you can look at that as potentially a goal for you. But certainly Europa League. And being able to secure top four, which I think it's going to be there in the end, and then win Europa League, and then you're going to feel like you're taking step forward. But even now, you're still thinking, this has been a much improved team from what we saw 2 months ago.
Yeah.
It is clear to see. It is obvious to see. The confidence of the team is there. Defensively, still some issues, but that has always been the case. Offensively, though, the variety in the attack is what makes this team different. It makes them different individually. It makes them different as a group. And then we haven't even started talking about Gavi. And we haven't even started talking about Pedri. And we haven't even started talking about some of the other players.
Ansu Fati coming back.
And so there's so much now to get excited about if you're Barcelona.
Yep.
You just got to keep it going. And that's going to be the key for Xavi, consistency. That you keep this momentum going and that you keep the run of results going.
Thoroughly impressive performance from Xavi's side. And it was the manager who Gemma caught up with after the game.
Three wins in a row, scoring four goals in every game. What changed in this team?
Well, I think the teamwork, everybody is working really well, training hard, believe in our way. The game model is excellent right now. Yes, we are coming back. We are playing so well. I'm really happy for the players because they are training very, 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 very well, excellent. So today a great game against a very, very difficult opponent, big defensive team. So I'm very happy. We are improving a lot and we need to keep going like that. Very good.
At the beginning of the season, it was very difficult to score a goal. Now you are having so much end product. Is it because of the quality of the transfer window and or it's also the security, that the confidence the players have now?
I think everything is important. How we training, how we sign players, of course, in the window, in the winter window. So, and we are training very well. We understand very well the game. We create many chances. We are in a very good fit now, so I'm very happy, especially for the players, also for the fans, but especially for the players because they were suffering a lot and now they are enjoying. So very happy for them.
What do you think about Pedri? You said he's the biggest prospect in Europe, but what he did today, it's amazing for a 19-year-old.
Yes, it's very similar like Andrés Iniesta. It's a talent, it's a big talent, and I'm. It's not a surprise for me because, you know, I'm training every day with him, so it's incredible. He's an incredible player and 19 years old, so amazing player. Amazing. It's a big talent, big talent.
Sergiño Dest, also his third game in a row in the starting 11, and he's having so much confidence, working a lot in defence and in attack. What do you think it happened with this player?
No, now the problem is difficult for me to do the lineup because everybody's in a good performance, everybody's training hard. Very difficult for me to organize the lineup, so this is the way. I think we are training very well, so hard, everybody in a good performance, everybody in a good fit, so this is the way. But we need to keep going. It's a long trip.
Well, early in the day, it was second versus third. Seville derby, Sevilla in action against Real Betis. Let's take you through what happened here. 23 minutes on the clock. Penalty would be awarded to the host, Claudio Bravo. I don't think I can have any complaints about this, can I?
No, and it was not the best game for Claudio Bravo. And in fact, I'll tell you, it was an awful game for Claudio Bravo. In the city, gets in behind Tecatito Corona, who was excellent, plays the ball. He gets there before Claudio Bravo. There's contact, it's a penalty, and Rakitic steps up and says, yeah, here you go, Kepa. That's how you do it.
Yep, 1-0, Rakitic then, and then 4 minutes before the break. Once again, you've got a question, Claudio Bravo?
Yes, you do. A lot. Quite a bit. Now, there was a hint of offside from Enesiri, who started the playoff from an offside position and seems to participate. He was not deemed to be in an offside position. And then the lack of goalkeeper for Claudio Bravo, catastrophic.
At the end, token goal for Sergio Canales, lovely free kick.
But a token goal nonetheless. Open over the wall. No chance for Bono. 2-1, too little, too late. Sevilla, excited.
Who's this more significant for, Sevilla or Real Betis?
I'm going to say Betis. Betis also plays Atletico Madrid next week. So it may just be a period about 10 days where Betis go from being very much in the conversation of top four to perhaps finding themselves on the outside looking in. And if indeed that happens, I don't think they're coming back into the top four.
For Sevilla, did you see enough today to suggest they can close that gap on Real Madrid?
They'll close the gap, but it won't be enough. I thought Tecatito Corona was excellent in the first half, and the understanding with Jesus Navas, he creates some variety for them in the attack, and they become very predictable sometimes when they get into the attack in half. So Tecatito Corona being able to break people down 1v1 situation, it is him that starts that first sequence of play, finds the ball over the top to Enesiri. So he gives them something different, but it's just not enough for Sevilla. There are moments now in which Sevilla look at what they have available. Papu Gomez came off injured. You have the fact of Anthony Martial also coming off injured earlier in the week. It's just not enough for Sevilla, and in the end, they're going to fade away.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
To the Carabao Cup final then, Chelsea taking on Liverpool. What a brilliant football match this would prove to be. Lukaku not starting, Pulisic does and should have done better here.
He does so well with his movement of the ball, staying onside, gets ahead of Matip, and now all we have to do, Christian, is put in the back of the net. I know. Christian opens up his body. Everything is done well except the finish.
So many chances for both sides. Brilliant stuff here from Diaz, who was fantastic throughout this tie. And then Keita denied by Mendy. And then a brilliant second save there to deny Mane.
He does enough with the first save, but then the second save, being able to react, get off on his feet. And Sadio Mane, who thinks he's scored, Mendy says, no, not right now, not ever.
Chelsea would have a couple of golden opportunities either side of half-time, both of them falling to Mason Mount. The first one here, great run by Pulisic. Look at Mount in the middle, sprinting towards the box. Gets on the end of it, but can't find the target.
He reads the space, he sees it well, gets ahead of Alexander-Arnold, who had lost the ball initially. Now it's time to finish, and much like Christian Pulisic, no!
And then into the second half, Mount once again, this time denied by the post.
At first touch, he can't quite get it out of his feet. It's a beautiful ball over the top from Christian Pulisic. Well-timed run. He stays onside, he's there. Is that first touch? Can I get it off my feet? I can't. And then it was off the post and out. You have to believe that a Chelsea may have been thinking, may not be our day after all.
Thomas Tuchel then. Not showing his expression here. Salah would have a quiet game. The best opportunity coming just after the hour mark, but just doesn't strike this well enough.
He was going wide anyway. Thiago Silva gets there. Mohamed Salah with a whole lot of confidence, and it showed. I tell you, Mendy, you're going to come out, I'm just going to dink this over the top. He does, but doesn't get enough out of it. So, gives a chance to Thiago Silva to get back. And as I said before, it was going wide anyways.
And then, 91st minute, Van Dijk with a header once again. Brilliant from Mendy.
Powerful run from Van Dijk, getting ahead of Reece James. And then it's a powerful header as well. Mendy, who's working to his right, has to come back to his left. Great save.
That wasn't it, though, for the action in a regular time. Lukaku was denied late on, but then Lukaku into extra time would see this opportunity chalked off for offside.
No! Lukaku! What a confident finish this one from Romelu Lukaku, a guy who has been struggling, who's been in the news. Able to take it to the inside, he finishes, he thinks he scores a game winner. Oh my goodness, is that close.
Yeah, offside given. Then, just before the shootout,
don't do it.
Mendy off, Kepa on. Everybody scores their penalties, so it's down to the goalkeepers. Kelleher.
Hey.
Perfect. Brilliant, brilliant for Liverpool. So it's all down to Kepa.
No, don't watch, Mendy. Turn around. Don't watch. Walk away. Ah, I know. No! It's hard to watch, man. It's hard to watch.
Kepa puts it over the bar. Liverpool then are your Carabao Cup winners. 0-0 certainly doesn't tell the whole story. This is what Thomas Tuchel had to say after the game.
The goalkeepers in both teams were the standout players in this game. Yeah. I think a lot of people were surprised when you decided to substitute Kepa in, since Mendy had such a great game.
Yeah, but I don't think so that a lot of people were surprised. We did it in the European Super Cup and we said we will do it again because we have statistically proof that Kepa is slightly better and goalkeeping in a penalty shootout is a total isolated discipline. It has nothing to do with a normal goalkeeping. So we did it today. He could not save one. In the opposite, he missed it. This comes with decisions. It's like this. We take the decisions when they need to be taken. And it's easy to judge decisions after when you know the result.
I think we can imagine how Kepa feels, but how did Edward think? Because he played in a penalty shootout in the final of the African Cup of Nations.
Yeah, of course he did. And that's how it is. We have an agreement on these decisions. He knows that this can happen. It's never clear that it will happen. It depends on the substitutes during a match. Can be that you need all five substitutes in the match. So there we have trust in Edu. Sometimes it can give you a certain edge. It can give you belief because Kepa is doing this in training. He's training with our boys, penalty shooting. This is why they are so strong. And Kepa is super strong in training and because he does not play so much, he has more time in training to practice on penalties. So that's why he gives also huge belief to the team and this is why we do it.
We'll get reaction from Stevie Nicol and Frank Leboeuf in a moment on that result. But first, let's head to Wembley. Jan Arge Fjørtoft. There he is. Look at this. The last man standing outside. Jan, what a brilliant game.
It was a fantastic game. And I'm, by the way, out there looking for the ball that Kepa shot away in the penalty shootout. So I still can't find it. But as you said, Dan, a fantastic football game. And I said to Klopp, I just interviewed him and Van Dijk. And I said to Klopp, it was a typical 11-10 game. I have never seen a game like that. Chances after chances. There were four or five goals. VAR was right. Mostly, although Al said it was very tight on one of them, but a fantastic football game. And then, of course, everybody will talk about this goalkeeping thing. But Tuchel was very humble after the game, as you heard. He said that this was the decision we're going to make. And if it all worked out, we would stand here talking about him being a professor and the most strategic coach in the world.
Yeah, and what about those Chelsea chances?
Unbelievable. You showed Pulisic a big, big chance. That could be a fantastic start for Chelsea. But I think that Mason Mount, he will sit at home somewhere in London tonight and think of this could be my big game and being the big hero of this League Cup final. But having said that, Liverpool had their chances as well. But I mean, the Pulisic thing, I think this is the Pulisic chance. He does everything right. Now, this is Mason Mount. by the way, and it's just sad to see that. I mean, any striker, any goal getter, you will just feel so for them when they do this. And this is just right after the break, and you just felt this was one of those days. And you know, when there are two German coaches, you always end up having 21 penalties. I mean, they will never miss that penalties, will they? So that's what Tuchel knew.
from a Liverpool perspective, Jan, obviously Gallagher starting ahead of Alisson, and he was arguably the man of the match.
He was, and such a humble Irish. I mean, I love Irish, but he's a humble Irish man, and he's been good for them. He sometimes doesn't look like a goalkeeper, and I say that in a very positive way, because he doesn't have the presence like, for example, the first goalkeeper at Liverpool, Alisson. But still, what a story, and also what a story about Klopp sticking to him. And also he said after the game, of course, Alisson is one of the best goalkeepers in the world, but I trusted Kelleher. And he paid that back. And this young lad coming up, taking the penalties as well. I mean, unbelievable. The pressure he on, and he produced.
Yeah, thank you very much. And let's go to Stevie and Frank now for more on this. Stevie, no matter who you supported, this is a brilliant game.
Yeah, I mean, this is easily the best game, our best final that the new Wembley's ever seen. I mean, if you were writing this script, then maybe you would have put goals in it. But the goals might have spoiled it, because it was just so invigorating. You couldn't take your eyes off it. Regardless of whether you're Chelsea or Liverpool, you can't fail to be impressed by both sides. And you can't fail to be impressed. You know, we hear all these coaches all the time talking about fitness. Well, I tell you what, these two went at it before I think they decided probably half time of the overtime, that, you know what, I think it's time to just take what we've got and look forward to penalties. But absolutely brilliant.
Frank, you can make arguments for both sides with regards to who deserved to win.
Yes, of course, and I'm completely with Stevie about that. You know that it's kind of irrelevant to see the winner, you know, on penalties. And congratulations to the Reds, but we saw two teams giving everything. Yes, you had the commitment. Yes, we had everything. We had also the clumsiness of Mane, of Pulisic, of course Mount. But we have everything. Nobody gave up anything and fought until the end, until we reached the penalty, and until that crazy story about Kepa taking over Mendy and not stopping any penalties and giving a fantastic rugby conversion, you know, at the end, who made Chelsea lost. But at the end of the day, maybe three players at Chelsea won't sleep well tonight. It's Pulisic, it's Mount, and it's of course Kepa. But otherwise, nobody should have, regrets in the Chelsea, because they gave everything and they gave a fantastic game. The thing is, in a final, you don't play a final. You win or you lose a final, because what we remember is that Liverpool won that Carabao Cup final.
What did you make of the Kepa decision, Stevie?
I absolutely think that Tuchel made the right decision. Listen, if you've got the facts in front of you and it's telling you that one goalkeeper is better at saving penalties than the other, then I think it's an absolute no-brainer to put him in. Listen, if you had a guy on who's got a hat-trick during a game and has a penalty, who do you let take the penalty? You take the designated penalty kicker, because he's better at taking penalties than the guy who's got a hat-trick who might fancy it. You know, you live and die, as Tuchel said, by your decisions, and sometimes they pay off. But I don't think that Tuchel and Chelsea can look back at this game and say, we lost this because we put Kepa in goals. I think that it was the sensible and the straightforward decision to make. Unfortunately, it didn't work out, but sometimes things don't work out. So I don't think Tuchel should have any regrets, as Frank was talking about regrets, about putting Kepa in goal.
Frank?
Yeah, I think it's a decision that you make and you take full responsibilities for that. And again, you know, if Pulisic would have scored, if Mount scored these two chances, you know, we wouldn't have gone to the penalties shootout. So It's a decision you make. It worked on the, I think, Super Cup against Villarreal. It didn't work that time. Klopp decided to put Kelleher on, Mr. Tuchel decided to put Mendy back. So it's a decision. It's a really goalkeeper's story right now, but when in terms of penalty, it's a lottery. So you don't know. You make choices. Who's going to shoot first? Who's going to shoot second? Who's going to be your fifth? Is it going to be the star? You know, whatever it is. At the end of the day, the story says the last two shooters are the goalkeepers, and one made an horrendous shoot, and they lost. So that's just a lottery. So it doesn't matter, really.
What did you make of Lukaku, Frank?
Well, you know, for somebody who's been under lots of pressure, he scored a goal. He was very, very slightly offside, very much slightly offside. And when he had to shoot his penalty, he wasn't scared. I felt him very confident and made a little stop and teased the goalkeeper a little bit and scored. So, hat off to him for that. Hopefully he's going to get back to his confidence and his talent, because he has talent, and for sure he's going to serve the club very well.
Does today change anything for him, Stevie?
I don't think so. I think if everybody's fit, considering the way Chelsea played without him, yes, you can always complain that they never took the chances, but the way that the front three ran a Liverpool defence around, certainly on the break, with the pace and the movement, it doesn't change the fact that he needs to start the next game. So, yes, you got to give him credit for stepping up and taking that penalty big time. But I don't think it changes Tuchel's starting 11, or certainly front three, if everybody's fit.
Finally, Stevie, what does this mean for Liverpool?
I think it's like a little comfort blanket, I think, you know. Before the game, a lot of the questions that people said to me was, oh, Klopp's lost so many finals. Well, you know, he's got it, he's won it. He's going to get rid of this losing final thing now for sure. As I said, it's a little security blanket. It's in the bank. Now we can push on and try and win the other three titles that they're going for. And I'm interested to see what's going to happen against Norwich in the FA Cup. Because if he plays his first team, or he certainly plays the best side he has, who's fit and who's healthy, then that'll tell us whether he wants to win everything. And if he doesn't play his first team, that'll tell you that he's probably going to concentrate on the Premier League and the Champions League.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
On Saturday, we heard Roman Abramovich say that he'll be giving up stewardship of the club. And on Sunday, Chelsea came out and said the situation in Ukraine is horrific and devastating. Chelsea FC's thoughts are with everyone in Ukraine. Everyone at the club is praying for peace. For a little bit more on the developing story of Chelsea's situation, Gab, let's try and address both of these situations together, shall we? Obviously, Abramovich coming out yesterday and giving up stewardship of the club. We talked about it with Jules. That is this just an empty gesture?
Well, it's a public gesture. It's window dressing. In practical terms, there's no such thing as stewardship. It's not a legal term. It doesn't mean anything. He's still the owner. If I own my car, and I let you drive it, Dan, it's still my car. So from that perspective, there have been suggestions that some members of parliament here, might freeze his assets. As you know, they've been going after other Russian oligarchs in the UK. He's not on that list yet. And even if they freeze, even if they were to freeze it as an asset of his, it doesn't make much of a difference for him because it's not a liquid asset. It's not like he needs to, he needs that money that he needs to sell Chelsea to go and pay his bills. So I think this is just his way to try to make a public statement, to distance himself. The people, incidentally, the Chelsea Foundation members, which is a group that includes people like Piara Power, the former head of Kick It Out, Emma Hayes, the Chelsea women's coach, people like that. This is a charitable foundation. This isn't something that runs a football club. It's not clear that, you know, they're going to necessarily accept. So I think this is purely a symbolic gesture.
Meanwhile, of course, we had Czech Republic, Sweden and Poland FAs all coming out and say they would refuse to face Russia in those World Cup playoffs. Well, FIFA responded with a statement today saying no international competition shall be played on the territory of Russia, with home matches being played on neutral territory and without spectators. The member association representing Russia shall participate in any competition under the name Football Union of Russia and not Russia. No flag or anthem of Russia will be used in matches where teams from the Football Union of Russia participate. After that statement, we heard from the Poland FA saying FIFA's decision today is unacceptable to us. In a situation of war in Ukraine, we are not interested in the game of appearances. Our position remains unchanged. The national team Polish will not play against Russia in the playoff match, regardless of the name of the Russian team. What's FIFA thinking here, Gab? Because you're getting yourself into a situation where no one wants to face Russia, no matter what the name is, no matter where it is, no matter what anthem you played before the match. They are point blank refusing to take on this team. Why do FIFA not just kick them out of the competition?
All right, so a couple of points to make here. First of all, these measures that you see, no anthem, no flag, and changing the name, anybody who's watched the Olympics is familiar with this. In that situation, Russia banned for different reasons. In that case, it was doping, but it's the same thing. So what FIFA have done, FIFA have said, these are preliminary measures. There are more measures to come, but for the time being, we're kind of just going to copy what the IOC did in punishing Russia. Going forward with this, we speak of FIFA as if, you know, it's one guy, Gianni Infantino, in a house with pulling all the powerful levers. That's not quite the case. They had a meeting of what they call the FIFA Bureau, which is the head of the six confederations from CONCACAF to South America to UEFA, and they had to decide what to do. There was a feeling that the difficult thing here is there is no UN resolution condemning Ukraine, as we've seen in the past, for example, in 1992 when Yugoslavia was effectively kicked out of the European Championships. So they want to avoid basically making a political decision, or they want rather the politicians like the UN to make that decision first. That's not going to happen because Russia is a member of the Security Council and can veto any resolution. So effectively, they're buying time. And this is my interpretation. But they want these other countries to come out and say, we're not going to play Russia. It's not just those three who they face in the playoffs. It's others. It's Wales. The English FA also coming out with a strong statement. There's others to follow. When there are enough members around the world willing to make this pledge, I think at that point, that's when you're going to see them take more serious action against Russia. The way they look at it is they still have some time. It's, 3 weeks and a little bit away. But they want to be careful to not take this action without the politicians, without the UN doing it first. And if it's not going to be the UN, then it has to be the FIFA members coming out and saying, no, this is what we want.
What if they don't get that magic number, Gab? What if not enough federations, not enough members come out and make that statement against Russia? Where does that leave these playoffs?
So, first of all, I think they will. I think they will quite clearly. They will. I think at that point they're going to have to show courage and make a decision. Ultimately, the FIFA president is elected by his members. Today we had the six confederation heads who are also elected by their members. And you could look at every one of them, from Victor Montagliani in CONCACAF to Alexander Čeferin at UEFA, and saying, are you representing what your member nations want? Ultimately, these are the FIFA members. There's 211 of them, something like that. And if a majority of them are happy for Russia to go ahead and play, then I think FIFA is going to have a very, very difficult decision on their hands. But again, I don't think that's going to happen. I think if enough countries come out with the sort of statements that Poland and Sweden and the Czechs came out with today, I think they can resolve this even without what would normally happen, which is the UN coming out and announcing a boycott, like we've had in the past with South Africa over apartheid, or indeed with the former Yugoslavia following the violence in the civil war in the Balkans.
A lot more content, as always, over on our YouTube channel. Don't forget to go over there and subscribe to ESPN FC. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. And meanwhile, in Italy, what a huge, huge result it would be for Napoli, a late winner, giving them a 2-1 victory over Lazio. Elsewhere, we saw Roma win 1-0, but let's just take a look at what that means at the top of the table. Goodness me, it is all to play for, isn't it? Napoli now top, level on points with AC Milan, Inter in third, and Juve just 7 points adrift at the top of the table after their win earlier in the weekend. Let's welcome back Gab Marcotti, shall we? Gab, Napoli didn't blow it.
Talk about gutting it out. After that heavy home defeat against Barcelona in the Europa League, we saw Inter drop points, we saw Milan drop points, Napoli, I think for long stretches of the game, getting outplayed by Lazio. They go 1-0 up. Then, as you mentioned, Pedrito at the end, tremendous goal to equalize, and you think, all right, this is it, head's going to drop. We've seen Spalletti teams go soft in the end, but no, the most dramatic way possible, with Lorenzo Insigne setting up Fabian Ruiz with the three-pointer at the buzzer, to borrow a metaphor. I mean, this is the kind of win that really builds so much confidence, does so much for you. It's incredibly tight because they're right up there, level with Milan, Inter 2 points behind, but with the game in hand. And coming up behind, not that far away, with kind of their lights flashing, 7 points back, it's Juve. It's so, so tight in Serie A.
Easy one for you, Gab. Who wins?
You're not going to get me on that one. You know, I reserve to change my mind every week. I'm going to suggest Milan, if only because Zlatan Ibrahimovic came out today and, his contract's up at the end of the year. He's having negotiations. He's going to take a big pay cut. And he said, I'm not leaving until I win another title with Milan.
Wow.
So the man's in his 40s. He deserves a rest. So I'm going to suggest Milan. But I genuinely don't know.
The much-anticipated then return of Gab Marcotti for the Gab and Jules podcast. Jules has to get out of his seat now.
Yes,
get out of the big boy chair. You can check that out on Monday. They have so much to discuss. It will be a bumper episode for sure.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You got to see Pedri's highlight reel from today. My goodness. Some filth
everywhere.
Yeah, just delivered and all smooth over the pitch. That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. Hey, stay tuned though. Frank, Gab and Ali, stay late to answer your tweets. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for all your questions. Ali Moreno with us here in the studio. Frank LaBeouf joins us as well. And Gab is back from holiday. Gab,
hey,
how was your holiday?
It was lovely. We were going to go skiing instead in the Dolomites, instead of a minor injury to Mrs. M, so we couldn't go. So instead, we went to Trieste, Slovenia, and Venice. Visited some caves.
Oh, very nice. Hello. I bet your kids really enjoyed that. It is a cave. Great. Thanks, Dad.
And it's empty. They had stalactites and stalagmites and underwater rivers. It was actually very cool.
Oh, very good. Did you go on a gondola in Venice? You would have gone on a gondola, would you, Gab?
No, that's for tourists.
Yes.
Gondola. No, that's for tourists.
There you are.
No.
What's wrong with you, Frank?
Yeah,
are you piping
exactly
in?
I say that if you take the gondola when you're a tourist, when it's such a cliche. You when you're an Italian like Mr. M, you don't do that.
Right.
You don't do that. Right. You know that by heart.
Wander around dark caves.
Are we going to have to go with Mr. M from here on out? Because I don't feel comfortable.
No, Mr. M feels a bit strange, doesn't it?
I don't like it.
For the guys, did you witness any special proven tactics from your managers that went terribly wrong on a random day, like using Kepa and penalties as an example today?
I mean, there are many times in which you step on the field and you know that your manager has made a decision, including a player, that does not belong. And you have to ask the question to yourself, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And of course, undoubtedly, that player steps on the field, has a terrible game, he ends up coming off, you know, standard 55 minutes, and you're saying, we really need a 55 minutes to figure this out?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about myself, by
the way. No, of course not. Gab, I'm thinking Stuart Pearce when he was managing Manchester City when he put David James up front.
Yes, and we saw. I mean, obviously you do that for height. I remember, I think it was Martin O'Neill at Leicester. He put the center back up front, and I think it was Matt Elliott or Walsh, or he'd play those guys up front and just lump balls to their heads. You do see some elements, some things like that, but not really gimmicky stuff like this.
Frank?
Well, I just remember, I think one game, you know, I played for a smaller team called Laval, and we had to play against a big team, and we worked all week long about the defensive aspect of our tactic and trying to, let's say, hold the game and go the furthest, to the end to get maybe a draw. And so we had a very defensive lineup, and we conceded a goal after 30 seconds. So, therefore, everything was useless.
That's fantastic.
And the coach didn't know what to do because at the time we had only the right of two substitutions. So we were screwed after 30 seconds. We lost, I think, 4-5-0, I think.
Can I tell you that?
That was good.
Semi-final Copa America 2011. We were playing against my beloved Paraguay. Don't really like them all that
much. Right.
And we go into penalties. And I'm thinking, our backup goalkeeper was taller, lankier, and better at penalties than our starting goalkeeper.
Okay.
But our coach did not make the decision
right,
like Thomas Tuchel did. And to this day, in my heart, I believe with all my soul and all my power that our backup goalkeeper was better suited for the penalties.
Where were you on the penalty list?
Well, I had been taken off the game in the 87th minute or something like that, so I was nowhere near the penalty kick shootout.
For Gab, Lukaku was actually decent today, but again started on the bench. Do you see him staying at Chelsea after this season, or do you think he'll be back at Inter or another club next season?
I think Chelsea made such a big commitment to him financially. I mean, I think it's hard to see Inter picking up the tab. I mean, not only it's not just a question of the fee, it's a question of his wages as well. I don't think Chelsea bought him blind. I don't think they view him as a long-term project. They got him to contribute. And I think this is just a tactical decision where obviously he felt that, you know, maybe he wanted to press, maybe get more pace in there. Play a little bit differently, and that's why he didn't start. But as far as I know, Chelsea as a club, now this may not be Tuchel, but Chelsea as a club are still committed to Romelu Lukaku.
Frank, does the turf at the penalty spot get destroyed after 3 or 4 or 9 rounds of penalties? And are there little tricks that players do to repair or manicure it to their liking? And how far from the spot can they stray for perfect grass?
Well, it depends. If you play on carpet, like I see some MLS games, you know, you don't have that kind of problems, you know? I know you call that AstroTurf, but I call that carpets. Yeah, we had some people, you know, playing with that, making holes, you know, just before the shootout to make sure that somebody was going to miss it. We remember David Beckham slipping and putting the ball in the stands, like we saw today with Kepa. I don't have the right... measurement, you know, of what should be the grass and everything. The thing is, after a while, you know, at the beginning of the season, the spot is pretty clear, it's pretty nice, and as you go into winter, and after that, you know, it's becoming a tricky situation to only place the ball on the spot. Sometimes it slips, it doesn't stay because it's like a little bump, you know. It was always tricky, I would say, during the winter time. I remember once slipping, but being lucky enough to put it in the top corner, which I didn't aim at all. It was just a lucky shot. But I've seen so many players, you know, having some troubles with just putting the ball in on the white spot.
John Terry, right?
John Terry, Champions League.
Yeah. And exactly. It's an issue. And certainly when you take 21 penalties.
Yeah, shouldn't they just take up the other end after a while?
You know what, Dan? Put it in writing.
There you are.
Suggestion box.
It's a lot of hassle.
I know.
I'm just very busy. Gab, should the offside rule be changed? For example, as long as the player's feet are onside, it's a good goal.
I'll answer that, but first I need to give a shout out, since Ali brought up Paraguay, to his all-time favorite Paraguayan player, the legendary Nestor Ortigosa. I'm sure he can regale us with anecdotes about him.
By the way, he scored in that penalty kick shootout.
In fact, that's why I brought it up. The thing is, they are looking at this. You saw the robot linesmen that were going to evaluate different things. There's people bringing up daylight. I think it doesn't really matter where you put it. You're still going to have close calls. You're still going to have situations like that. IFAB keep looking at it. They keep testing things. But they haven't come up with a solution that I think makes sense and that's going to please everybody, or one where they feel confident enough and say, yeah, let's go ahead and do this. I think the robot referees, if the technology turns out the robot linesmen actually, and they're not really robots, it's just a system of cameras, but they like to call them robots. Dang, I know you were hoping for sort of little tin men going like
yes.
this, but no. That could be it. I think that is a solution that would help out and would give you scope to do different things.
Oh, I was in Stop and Shop and there was a robot wandering around.
Yeah, the one that hands you like a piece of paper,
I don't know
like
what
a
he was
coupon
doing.
Or something.
He was just beeping away. I was like, what's going on here?
And who's controlling this guy?
I know, he wouldn't run the line very quickly.
No, putting the flag up.
Have any of the guys been in a position similar to Dembele when the fans' reactions changes with basically every touch of the ball? Dembele, of course, whistled when he came on today, but then was exceptional. 2 assists and a goal as well. Frank, you've told us before about Chelsea fans booing you. Is that when they thought that you got rid of Viali? Did that change as your performance improved?
Yes, it did, and it put me out of my mind in a way that before the game I thought it was quite unfair to be treated like that by the people that I really cheered. And I thought it was unfair, and I worked so hard during the game for the first 30, 45 minutes that at the end of the game and during the second half, I started to feel that people were changing their mind and I felt that I was completely implicated in the club, and so they started to clap me. So that was nice at the end of the day. That was the only game, but I felt very sad at first and happy at the end. So everything was forgiven.
Roller coaster of emotions. Mm. Jan was supposed to be on today, but obviously he had some technical issues outside of Wembley, so we drafted Frank in. The final question is for Jan, but maybe we can go to Frank for it.
Okay, why not?
Although maybe not. Clearly your hair is your superpower, Jan.
Yeah, no, okay. So who are you going to go to in this question? Because, well...
Any players you remember that had great hair that you admired? Oh, ooh. Whose hair did you admire? Jean-Pierre Papin?
No.
Fabien Barthez?
David Ginola.
Oh, don't
no, get... David Ginola.
Oh,
of course.
And some guy. He did that commercial for shampoo factory. So I was very envious and jealous, of course, you know. And he has gray hair very early in his age, like his mother. And I think it was absolutely fantastic. And I was so jealous, of course, of him. And when I watch, I watch Mason Mount this afternoon.
Yes.
I say, what's wrong with him? What is he trying to do? I want to know what my son is trying to do. I want to see the end of the action of it.
Oh, but, Frank, yeah. The most passive-aggressive compliment. David Ginola had lovely hair, but he went grey like his mother early.
Very early.
No. Early. I loved it. No, you're not nice. You're not being nice to me, you know. Whatever.
Oh, dear me. Gab, why don't we see more footballers, for example, in England, do commercials like we do here in the States? States, every commercial you turn on, there is a sportsman kind of selling something. You don't get that as much in the UK. Why not?
It's a good question, and it's funny because I actually asked one of those sports marketing guys who's worked both in sports in the US and over here in Europe. And he said that part of it is that the club loyalties are often so strong that unless you get, you know, somebody who's retired, you mentioned hair there, Luis Figo, I think he used to do either Hair Club for Men or something like that, or maybe it was something to dye your hair or whatever, if you're going gray. But he could do that stuff after he retired. I think a lot of advertisers would feel that, oh, hey, you know, if I get, I don't know, if I get Harry Maguire to go and endorse my product, then fans of other clubs, or actually maybe fans of United too, wouldn't be into it. But so you either get, sorry, that was mean to Harry, I didn't mean that. But you know, you either get somebody who is, you know, genuinely, you know, a megastar, and is generally liked by everybody. Otherwise, the club allegiances are so strong that it can be quite polarizing.
You done celebrity endorsements, Sally, during your time? Any Venezuela?
I did from time to time.
Yeah.
In terms of the hair, by the way, Gabriel Batistuta.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, man, he had some.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well done. Well done.
That was beautiful. And then whenever he was running fast, which I cannot relate to, but whenever he was running fast, you could see the hair just fly. Oh,
beautiful.
Claudio Caniglia as well.
Claudio Caniglia. It's funny because Gabby can confirm that in Roma, when Candela was there and Totti, I think two-thirds of the team had long hair. It was quite fashion stuff, you know, in AS Roma at the time. And I didn't want to play for that team. I say, hopefully nobody calls me to come to play for that team because I will be the only bald guy over there. I don't know if you remember.
If you remember.
The Totti, Candela and some others had long hair there.
If you remember, at that time in the Argentina national team, Passarella came in as a coach and he required that players would cut their hair. And so Batistuta, he cut his hair. But Redondo, Fernando Redondo, would not cut his hair, so he wasn't called in.
Wow.
Flowing locks, baby.
Wow.
Oh, by the way,
that's what you go for.
Dan, yes. we have to give credit to the best pundit we ever had in ESPN, Mario Kempes. Come on.
Oh, yes, that's
long hair, 78, fantastic.
Yeah, nice.
Legend.
No, nice, yeah. Nice hair as well.
I hate to tell you, Frank, he no longer has that hair
That. It's gone.
I'm just gonna let you know.
Oh,
I don't wanna break your heart, but
hey, I tell you, his hair I like. Huh? Antonio Conte.
Magic
hair. Magic hair.
That's special. That's not nice. You're such a mean person, in fact.
Talk about endorsing a product.
Exactly. Yes, indeed.
Gab,
the last word goes to you on the favorite haircut.
Obviously, we haven't mentioned Valderrama, but I think he's probably in a category all of his own. I was always very impressed with René Higuita. I always wondered whether he actually put something in his hair to have it look like that.
Soul glow, baby.
Or whether it was... Or going further, if you remember, was it Leonel Alvarez, the Colombian?
Yes.
That was even more so. He knows what I'm talking about. I think we've had a variety of that. But it's interesting. When we went on the hair discussion, we all talked about people with really big hair.
Yeah.
If you remember Rodrigo Palacio, and if for some reason all these guys are South American, he had the little like rat tail.
Mm.
Like he was completely bald, but he just didn't cut the hair in his back, and he had a little rat tail going all the way down to his backside.
Ugly.
I thought that was a statement, not something you see very often.
Oh, I bet Stevie and Craig are jealous they're not here for this discussion. Yes. Imagine that. What, on other people's hair? What are you talking about? Brilliant stuff, guys. As always, thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow for more, I'm sure, for more reflection of what we saw this weekend, not only in La Liga, but that big cup final at Wembley.